Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, and we do thank you for peace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, how thankful we are tonight that we can know that peace truly and sincerely. And Lord, I do pray that tonight as we meet together that you would let your presence be known. Lord, I pray that you would bring us a peace in our hearts, even those that are facing trials tonight, those that have many worries and burdens. I pray, God, that you would give them peace. Lord, meet with us tonight in our prayer time. I pray you'd lead us, Holy Spirit. May we accomplish much for your glory and for eternity's sake tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Well, good evening, everybody. And boy, it's summertime, man. You know it's summertime when the BBS sign is out front, ready to roll. Man, you know it's tight. It is game on. I'm ready, buddy. Let's get them and round them up and put on your spiritual armor. But hey, according to our theme, it might be a good idea to have some physical armor on too. And I heard one of these fellas already talking about putting on some knight armor and getting ready to roll with that. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the dress-ups we'll do on that. But just right around the corner. In fact, that will be a major topic tonight for our prayer time is the VBS. We want to make sure that we're getting ready for that. And praise God for the opportunity that He'll give us in reaching more for Him. And praise the Lord for good service this past Sunday. Thank you for the great attendance, the great spirit, and how God is answering prayer. And boy, I just rejoice in how the Lord used Brother Paul Smith on Sunday night. And I was very thankful for him coming and dropping in and just really challenging us and our need to pray. And I feel like it'd be a great idea, and I'm in the process of working on this, is getting us something as a church that we can pray better for those that are in authority. I'd like to get a bookmark set up a little bit like this that our Nova Scotia team has. Get something with our local leaders that we might pray better, more effectively, and more precisely for those that are making decisions for our community and for our cities and for our state and our country. We want to do a better job at that, and I appreciate Brother Smith coming in. Thank you for the generous love offering that you gave. I appreciate that so much, and the encouragement that he received. He said he was greatly encouraged by you folks coming up and talking with him and just how well you listen to the Word of God. And so thank you. Thank you for that. Tonight we're going to have Patch coming here in just a short bit, and they're going to have a song for us, or a couple songs for that matter. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's go ahead and dive right into the Word of God. And we're going to be back into the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I have a few announcements that I'll bring before prayer time. But if you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. You can pray for my wife. She has got some battle wounds, I think, from today. Today was a... I didn't make it. Grana made it. Thankful Grana stepped up to the plate, but today they had a date with the JCPenney photo booth, and I heard it was a battle. So we may give y'all some pictures here in the near future, and I hope we can, but can't promise that they'll all be smiling, okay? Y'all will understand, amen? And but y'all understand how that goes sometimes. Sometimes you can get the kids to smile. It was the case was this time is that the two kids, because we bribed them with the what is it, the carousel there in the big mall near Atlanta. Of course, they were all Thomas and Marianne. Boy, they were set. So they had the smiles perfectly. But there's a problem. Caroline, she didn't know what a carousel is. Okay. And she could care less about one. And getting her to smile, that was a whole different ball game. But I think they got a couple ones in. And
I'm passing them out whether people like them or not as much as I paid for them, so y'all gonna get one, okay? But we'll just look back and laugh at that and just appreciate even the frown sometimes, amen. But we're gonna pick back up here in Luke chapter 10, and want to go over another point, another aspect of it that I did not hit last week. But notice there in Luke chapter 10, after these things, it says in verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. And of course, He goes on to talk about the harvest and how great it is and how few the laborers are. And then just let me sort of review the outline, and then I want to come back to a specific point. You'll remember the first point of our outline. Can remember we talked about the mission that the Lord sent them out on. And what was the first thing that we see of the mission? What was it? Somebody remember, it was an H. I'll give you a hint. The harvest. It was the harvest of the mission, and we talked about how that harvest was indeed great, and how in many ways it was. We talked about large; it was great, but it was also lonely. The harvest is lonely. The harvest is in need of laborers. Man, I tell you what, you can go out across the millet fields out in the southern part of Niger. Just miles and miles of these millet fields, and you see some of the African families out there, and man, you just so much work to do, and they don't have machinery. Everything's done themselves, hand-picked and processed, every bit of it. No tractors. They do have donkeys out there helping, but boy, I could only imagine, boy, they're probably thinking, man, the laborers are few. I wish we could get many more people out here to help us. And we see here that Jesus Christ is talking about the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And He gives a remedy to that, though, because He tells us to pray for those laborers, that He would send forth more. But we talked about the mission from the harvest standpoint. But then, what else did we talk about of the mission? It was the second H. When He says, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. What did we talk about the mission? The hardness of the mission. The difficulty of it. It is. Jesus didn't make any bones about it. He didn't try to cover it up. He didn't try to butter it up. He didn't try to say, now come on guys, it's going to be like going to Six Flags, Disney World. We're all just going to have a grand old time and laugh the whole time. But you know, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm going to send you among wolves. And there are going to be ones that will oppose you. And He said, but that's okay. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the strength you need, the wisdom you need, and I'm going to still use you in a mighty way. We talked about the hardness of the mission. We talked about the dangers, the attacks of Satan. We've experienced them. We are experiencing them in our families and different avenues. We talked about the discipline. Of the hardness of the mission. Talking about, hey, it takes a focus, doesn't it? It surely does. But then I want to talk about a third point here in a minute. I'm going to come back to it, but let's just review. What was the third H there? We talked about the harvest of the mission, the hardness of the mission, and then that third one was what? Look down in our passage. I'll give you a hint here. It says in verse 6, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. So that Son of Peace, that the people of peace we talked about, that is what our... Somebody help me out. That third H, the hope of the mission. The hope of the mission. That is the hope of the mission. I tell you what, I'm not looking. Hey, I'm not coming out here on Saturdays, and I'm not here as your pastor just because I just want to be here. I'm here because I have hope, and you're here because you have hope. You have hope that there is a God in heaven who is faithful, and He is, and a hope that does not disappoint, the Word of God says. And as we go out, there's a hope that we will reach people with the gospel. Hey, I love the fact of the matter is that we cannot reach all of them, but we can reach some of them. That's our hope. people of peace that are going to respond to the gospel. And they're not robots. They'll respond with a free will to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Every human being has the option to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit or to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going out there to seek to find people that will receive this by obedience and faith. And that's what we are seeking to do. No time to be lost. But then, as we are talking about those people of peace that were prepared to embrace the message, one of the things we got to understand, back to that third point, the hardness of the mission. There are dangers. Yes, there are. There is a discipline to remain focused and not get easily distracted. But this point I'm going to mention tonight, listen closely, please. The thing I'm going to mention tonight is, I think, probably one of the biggest obstacles to the ministry of winning people to Christ or leading people to Christ. And that is, not only is there dangers and there needs to be a discipline, but then there's the deniers. That third point here on the hardness of the mission, I think, is one of the biggest obstacles for born-again believers to face when it comes to winning people to Christ. The deniers, those people that will deny the message. And that pretty much follows up with this one word, rejection. I believe, Brother Josh, that is probably one of the most difficult emotions to deal with as a human being, one of the most difficult experiences for a human being to go through, and for generally speaking, is to be rejected. For somebody to tell you no, or for somebody to tell you not interested, or get out of my face, or whatever the case may be. Simply, I don't want what you're telling me. You take whatever you're saying and give it to somebody else. I'm going to tell you what, that's humiliating. It is. There's no denying that. But even the Lord told us what to do in this situation, and that's what I want to give you tonight very quickly. We see that there is a rejection. And let me say, first of all, that there is no loss in rejection. Look what Jesus said very closely there in verse 6. He says, "And if the Son of peace be there," that means somebody that's going to receive it, "your peace shall rest upon it." In other words, you're going to stay and you're going to give that message. "But if not, it shall turn to you again." What is the Lord saying there, church? He said, you're not going to lose anything. Even if they turn you down and reject the peace that you come in, my name, and they reject it, guess what? It's going to remain with you. The peace, my peace, you're not going to lose it. What is Jesus saying, church? We don't have anything to lose by giving people the gospel on a consistent basis. What a wonderful truth there it is. The Lord's saying, listen, people are going to reject it, but I want to comfort you. You're not going to lose anything. Now, yes, it is a humbling experience. But why is there no loss? Why is it no loss? Because, get this, and this is not a selfish statement, church. I hope you'll understand my motive in saying this. Exactly what I said a moment ago. We don't lose anything. I don't lose my salvation by them rejecting salvation. I don't lose the gift of eternal life that God has given me because they are choosing to reject. I'm still keeping my peace, friend. Now listen, I feel like there still needs to be compassion, of course. But whether you receive it or not, my dear friend, praise God, I'm sealed. It's finished. I still have peace, and no man will take that from me because that's what Jesus gave me. So when you're dealing with rejection, number one, realize that there's no loss in rejection. You still have your salvation. No man will take that from you. But get this. Secondly, it should be an encouragement to you that it not only is there no loss, but it is another's gain. You know what that means? Well, say Ben represents the first person that rejects. You reject. Brad, you reject. No, refuse. Refuse. Reject. Reject. Oh, don't want it. Reject. Oh, don't want it. Reject. You don't want it, reject it. You don't want that, reject. Yep, don't want it. Nobody's interested here. Man, how many people is that I've gone through? I keep going. Aha! Found one. somebody eventually is going to take it. Somebody eventually is going to see the truth of the Word of God, and they're going to receive it. And Jesus says here what He's teaching these disciples, listen, if you come to them and they reject, listen, you're not going to lose anything, because eventually you're going to get to somebody that's going to be thankful, and they're going to take it, and they're going to receive it. And so, in other words, let's not be discouraged when we face rejection. But not only that, we see that it's another's gain. So we see it's no loss, but it's the next one's opportunity. And by the way, we don't forget about the one that rejected. Hopefully, and I'll mention that in a second, we'll continue praying for them. Because I think if we all were honest in here this morning or this evening, we'd all say, well, I know several people that have just continuously rejected. Continuously. And that's someone you need to pray for, but you don't get caught up in that. You move to the next one. You move to the next one. Jesus talked about it. Hey, there comes a point where you will shake the dust off your feet. You will let it go, and you will move on. Was Jesus being insensitive to that? No. It's just a truth when it comes to sharing the gospel that I am not responsible for people believing. I am responsible for giving them the truth. And that's what the Lord wanted to teach these disciples, and I believe that's what He wants to teach us. And we see that these deniers, the hardness of their hearts, it just simply means that there are going to be people that reject us, but we can respond rightly to rejection. You know, another, and this is probably the most powerful point that I have to go along with how to handle this rejection when people say, or people don't respond. A lot of times it's not even verbal. A lot of times it's just silence. There's a couple of young ladies around here, when I put it in front of them, they wouldn't even look at it. And that's a lot of times, that's the way it is. Some people don't even say anything, but they don't respond to it. And that's the way it is in a lot of places. But hold your place there in Luke and look over with me in Isaiah 53. I would say the third point here under handling rejection is understand it's no loss and understand it's the next one's opportunity. But thirdly, and probably the most powerful point, it's knowing the Savior better. Knowing the Savior better. You say, how do you get that, Pastor? Look with me. Isaiah 53, verse 3. The Word of God says, what? He, that's speaking of King Jesus, the Messiah. He is despised and what, church? Rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You see, I believe the third point of this in dealing with rejection is, remember, church, when that time of rejection comes and somebody just turns down an offer, an invitation to church, an invitation to take a tract, an invitation to share the gospel, understand, not only is there no loss because my salvation remains, and not only will it be the next one's opportunity once that's rejoicing, but thirdly, dear church, it helps us to know the Savior better. To know the rejection that our Savior, King Jesus, experienced when men put Him on that cross. When men rejected His message and laughed Him to scorn and treated Him. You know what? That helps us relate to our Savior that much more. And I'm telling you what, that will help you walk stronger in Christ. That will help you listen to Him even more closely as He is working in your life. In closing tonight, I have a thing I'd like to pass out here. It came from our Take It Personally book that we finished up several weeks ago. I'm going to give out one apiece tonight, but we're going to make little books for everyone for you to maybe purchase a binder, and we're going to make these available. And what it's called, churches, it's called a prospect list. And what it is, it gives you an opportunity. It may be someone you've known for a long time, but it basically gives a date of your first contact if it is on visitation. But it may be a family member that you've known all your life. But the point is, you put their name, their information, and what it is down here is it's an accountability contact list. It's a little graph that you'll see, and it's a follow-up record. It basically is an indication of what you're doing to reach them with the gospel. And it's got phone, email, text, or just a simple visit. And what you would do inside that square, whether you sent them an email or a text or a Facebook message, whatever, what you would do is you would just put the date there. And as you're praying for them, there will be one day, Lord willing, and this is your hope, Lord willing, you'll be able to write the date of their salvation, either in your Bible or here where you've been praying for them. And you know what it does, church? It just helps us to be serious-minded about it. That it's not some game we're playing. When we talk to people about Christ out here in our community, family members that you know, I think of family members that I'm personally praying about now that I want to do one of these for. You'll see what they are. They're just a prospect list. And for us to be able to better pray for those that we've come in contact with. Now, again, I'm only giving you one, so you can just do a sample, okay? And we're going to print out more of these and make them available. And what I would encourage is that you get a binder, the half binders, and stick those in there and just start making you a prospect list that you'll be praying over, those that God has put in your pathway. And I just believe by doing this, the Lord will honor us as we are seeking to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ.